Good morning, everyone. I hope you enjoy coming together to worship together as one body in Christ. Thank you for the praise team for leading us in worship of our God this morning. Now, I guess I want to begin by helping us think about one of the most exciting things that could be ever happen in our lives. And I think we all like to receive gifts, right? Now, whether it's your birthday or whether it's Christmas time, who wouldn't like to receive a gift from someone to be cared about and know that there is something special that is inside a box for you? So I remember when I was in third grade, okay, this was the year 2000, I literally had like the best Christmas ever. Now, this is the time when Pokemon finally came to the US and it was like the biggest craze then. Everything that I got for Christmas that year was Pokemon stuff, the Pokemon trading cards, Pokemon coloring books, and even got episodes of Pokemon on VHS. And some of you are like, what's that? What's VHS? So it's like tapes, like sort of before DVDs and such. I didn't believe in Santa Claus or anything, but I believed in my dad. I mean, he was the one who got me the gifts. I still left out cookies. I didn't give him milk, I gave him Coca-Cola. But so that was like one of my the most memorable times of my childhood. And then I guess also another memorable but also like not so pleasant time is there's another Christmas like where I had asked my dad for an Xbox. So this is the original Xbox. So this is even before the Xbox One, before the Xbox 360. And come that Christmas, I look under the tree and I see just like a cardboard box with an X on it. And it's like, there's your Xbox. So, I mean, I was a little bit disappointed then, but it was just, I don't know, it wasn't really a pleasant joke. But anyways, there is an excitement when it comes to receiving any type of gifts, whether it's from your birthday, whether it's like for Christmas. But did you know that there's another type of gift that we all have received, especially if you're Christians, and God has given us this gift, and these are called spiritual gifts. Now, last Sunday, if you were here with us, during our Sunday school time, after the joint service, I had everyone during your Sunday school class take a spiritual gifts survey. So there were 80 statements, and you read through each of the statements, and then you ranked each of the statements based on whether it characterizes you or not. And after you added up all your scores, you made a graph, and you'd be able to show really what are your spiritual gifts. What are the gifts that God has given you to use to serve in the church? And later on in the sermon, I will actually show like some data, some graphs to see, as a whole Ingress congregation, what are our spiritual gifts. Now, after taking that survey, you may be very confused because you may not know about what is this whole thing about spiritual gifts. What are they for? Why do we have them? Why is this even a thing in the Bible and in the church? So today, we're going to be beginning a three-part sermon series on spiritual gifts and on service. So today and the next 2 weeks, we'll be focusing on spiritual gifts. Like, how is it important? Why is that related to your relationship with God? So I invite you to please take out your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 to 11. If you don't have a Bible, look on with your neighbor, or you can find one in the pews in front of you. In context, this is the Apostle Paul writing this letter to the church of Corinth. And throughout most of this epistle, the Apostle Paul was basically correcting the Corinthians on certain issues that they're going through. They were not necessarily following God's word. They're not necessarily following God's law. So he had to teach them and point them into the right direction. And in this portion, he had to correct them about their understanding about the Holy Spirit and also their understanding about spiritual gifts. So I hope you're here with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Please follow along as I read. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one is speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge and according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we pray? Father, we want to learn about these spiritual gifts. You know, receiving gifts is an exciting thing, and help us to see how much more exciting it is to be able to receive something from you. Lord, I pray that you open our eyes. Teach us what are these spiritual gifts about. Teach us how we should use them. Teach us what is the significance in our relationship with you. And I pray that through what we learn today, that you can be able to help us apply them in our church, that you'll be able to help us to be able to help our church grow more in you, and to be able to bring others to come to the saving knowledge of you as well. Lord, we seek to glorify you and praise you with all of our lives. Lord, give us the spirit of understanding as we look through your word. We lift up these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So here in the passage, right off the bat, the Apostle Paul, first thing he says in verse 1 is this: now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. The Apostle Paul doesn't want the Corinthians to be uninformed. He doesn't want them to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Now likewise, for those of us who are here today, God also does not want us to be uninformed about these spiritual gifts. God also wants us to know what they are about. So from this passage today, we are going to be mainly asking three questions here, okay? So our first question is this: what are spiritual gifts? What are spiritual gifts? And then the second question we're going to answer is, who do we receive our spiritual gifts from? So where do the spiritual gifts come from? Who gives them to us? And finally, our third question: what is the purpose of spiritual gifts? What is this purpose of spiritual gifts? So again, if you are writing these down for your notes, three questions. Number one, what are spiritual gifts? Number two, who do we receive our spiritual gifts from? And number three, what is the purpose of spiritual gifts? So let's start with the first question. What are spiritual gifts? Now let's start reading from verse 4 here. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So in these three verses here, there is some parallelism that's going on. So picture this with me. There are varieties of gifts, okay? But it is the same Spirit. There's the varieties of service, but it's the same Lord. And finally, there's the varieties of activities, but it is the same God. So you see, there's a parallelism here. So we're talking about gifts, service, and activities. These are talking about the same thing. Just as how the Spirit, Lord, and God are also the same. And actually, this is interesting because you see the Trinity right here. You have the Holy Spirit, you have Jesus the Son as Lord, and you have God the Father. So when we talk about gifts on the other side, gifts is the same thing as service and our activities. So let's answer our first question here. What are spiritual gifts? Here's the answer. Spiritual gifts are abilities of service. Spiritual gifts are abilities of service. So you may be remembering when you were taking the spiritual gift survey last week, some of you may have the spiritual gift of leadership. If you have that gift of leadership, you have that ability to be able to serve by directing people in the church towards a common goal. Or if you have the spiritual gift of evangelism, you have this ability to go share the gospel with other people, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ so that they can be saved. Or if you have the spiritual gift of teaching, then God might want you to be able to teach in Sunday school in the church, maybe children's ministry or for junior high. Or in general, you may have the spiritual gift of service or helps, just being able to help around other people in different ministries. The emphasis here is that you have this ability to serve. So, you know, like superheroes also have certain types of abilities as well too, right? You know, Spider-Man has the ability to shoot webs out of his hand and be able to swing from buildings. Superman has the ability to have like a superhuman strength. Ant-Man has the ability to shrink himself to like the size of an ant. And Batman, he doesn't really have any abilities, right? He's just rich, okay? And he has and be able to do stuff. The point is that these superheroes, they have these abilities to do good. They have these abilities, they have the potential to use their abilities. Now, when we all receive spiritual gifts from God, I mean, it doesn't seem as cool or as great as a superhero power, but it is still an ability that God has given you, and you have the ability to use it. You have the potential to use it in the church too. So, but now I want to actually add to our definition of spiritual gifts. So just to add to our answer, question number one, what are spiritual gifts? So spiritual gifts are abilities of service. I'm going to add this portion. They're abilities of service given by grace. Spiritual gifts are abilities of service given by grace. So here in verse 4, when it talks about now, there are a variety of gifts. This word gifts here in Greek is basically charisma. And the root word is basically charis, which means grace. And for those of you who know Brian and Jeannie, you know, they named their second daughter Charis. So charis means grace. So that's where that name comes from. So this means that spiritual gifts are something that is given to us out of grace. Meaning that we're receiving something that we don't deserve. We're receiving something that we didn't earn ourselves. It was given to us because God wants to give it to us. It was given to us out of grace. So that's why we are saying that spiritual gifts are abilities of service given by grace. So I know some of you, that you have a lot of skills, you have a lot of talents, and you know that God has given you certain gifts. Maybe you are very knowledgeable about the Bible, or maybe you are very musically inclined and can play on the praise team, or maybe that you're good at talking with people, encouraging people, showing them mercy, being friends with people. And you can say, hey, this is the skills, these are the gifts that I developed myself. It's all because of me. It's all because of what I do and what I can accomplish in church and here in this ministry. But that's not the attitude that God wants us to have. The emphasis for why spiritual gifts are given to us by grace is that we have to realize that we do not deserve it. That God has given it to us not because there's anything good about us, not as because there's anything worthy about us that to deserve it. But he wants us to be part of the mission in the church, to serve him, to help the church grow. Spiritual gifts are given to us out of grace. And grace is something that we do not deserve. So an application here, at least for this first point here, I want us to consider and pray to God. Ask him, what are the spiritual gifts that he has given you? If you haven't taken the spiritual gift survey last week, you still have a chance to do that. This test is not meant to say 100% these are your gifts, but rather it's meant to help us pray, consider, and think what are the potential gifts that God has given us to use. So, and then also the other application I want us to think about and just remind yourself that this isn't what we deserve. God gave us these things according to his grace. So again, question number one, what are spiritual gifts? They are abilities of service given by grace. So now let's move on to our second question then. And our second question is this, who do we receive our spiritual gifts from? You know, sometimes when you receive a gift from someone, let's say that they didn't hand it directly to you. Let's say that you return back home and all of a sudden you find a gift, find a box in front of your doorstep, it has your name on it, And then you open it up and you see what it is. But the first thing you want to know is, how did this get here? Who is this actually from? So you try to look for clues about who may have given it to you, who may have left it in front of your doorstep. If there's a card, you might have opened the card and maybe read to the end of the card and see, oh, this person signed their name. Oh, it's apparently my mom who gave me this gift or something like that. So we want to know who gave us the gifts. So when we receive a spiritual gift, who is that specific from? And I think in this passage, it is pretty clear who we receive the spiritual gifts from. So I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Look at verse 6. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them to everyone. So it's the same God. Look at verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. And so an example of spiritual gifts. Look at verse 9 as well. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And then to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. So again, it's an emphasis on the Spirit. And look at verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each individually as he wills. So I think it's pretty clear, who do we receive the spiritual gifts from? So let's answer question number 2. Who do we receive our spiritual gifts from? We receive our spiritual gifts specifically from the Holy Spirit. We receive our spiritual gifts specifically from the Holy Spirit. And this explains why, at the beginning of this passage, why the Apostle Paul had to address the Corinthians about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit before he even goes into talking about the spiritual gifts. Please look at me starting from verse 2 here. Look at what the Apostle Paul has to correct them. He says, "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you are led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one is speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." So this is essentially what he's saying. No one who has the Holy Spirit in them can ever say that Jesus is accursed. And on the other hand, no one can confess that Jesus is their Lord without having the Holy Spirit in them. So do you know what this actually means? This means that it is only by the Holy Spirit who works in one's heart where someone can even confess and say that they believe in Jesus Christ, to accept him as his Savior. And also, that point in time when you believe, but that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, is that moment when you receive the Holy Spirit. So this means if you are a believer here today, if you are a Christian, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit within you. This is part of the promise by what God means is, and I will be with you to the ends of the earth, in a portion to like the Great Commission. God has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us. He's given us himself. So if we have received the Holy Spirit, then it also means that we also have spiritual gifts. So if you are a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have been given spiritual gifts. Now, why is it important for us to know who has given us our gifts? And I think knowing that the person who gives us the gifts is really important. First, it shows and reminds us who we should be given thanks to. If we know that it is the Holy Spirit, it is God who has given us these spiritual gifts, then all throughout our life, we should be praising and thanking God, the Holy Spirit, for doing this. Our whole life should be praising and worshiping the one who gives to us. Also, I think knowing who has given us the gift also shows the credibility of the gift that is given to us. Let's say that there's a random stranger out on the street who comes to you, he hands you this box, you open it up, and inside, let's say that it is a cell phone. Now, if you receive a cell phone from a stranger, you probably didn't even have any cables with it or anything, or it wasn't even a brand new phone, it seems very, very suspicious because it's a stranger who you don't know. So the credibility of this gift is not really that great. And for all we know, it could be a bomb or something. But let's say that it is your best friend. He knows that you have recently lost your phone or recently broke it. So out of love for you, he buys you a brand new phone, comes with all the cables and everything. It's not been used. The credibility of the gift is increased depending on the credibility of the person who is giving that gift. So knowing that you have received the spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit, from God, you know that this gift has to be something that is valuable. You know that this gift has to be something that is useful. The credibility of a gift is determined by the credibility of the giver. And finally, I think by knowing who has given us the gifts, it also shows us what is supposed to be the purpose of the gift. How are we supposed to use this gift? Which brings us here to our third question here. What is the purpose of spiritual gifts? You know, many different people give us gifts for many different reasons. Let's say, I mean, if it's your birthday or it's a Christmas, then okay, you can't expect that you'll be giving given gifts. But let's say that one day your parents give you an SAT book. What is sort of the purpose? What is what they're trying to say to you? I want you to study. I want you to get into a good college. And so that's sort of the purpose. Or let's say that, I don't know, your friend gives you a new phone case because it's of a design of something that you like. So they just want to extend their love to you. Or some gifts have like certain implications. Like let's say that someone hands you a stick of deodorant. You know, you can sort of guess what the purpose of the gift is. So likewise, just as people have reasons for giving you gifts, God also has a purpose for giving you a spiritual gift. So let's read verse 11. We see that here as well. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The Holy Spirit apportions to each one and every one of us a spiritual gift as he wills. Will implies that God, the Spirit of God, has a purpose for us to use it, that gift. So now the question comes down to is, what is that purpose? And we see that purpose here in verse 7. Please look at verse 7 with me. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You see, the use of our spiritual gifts is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It is the way how the Holy Spirit expresses and works through us. And it says it's used for us for the common good. Now, the common good, translated from the Greek word, symphero, means to contribute, to help, or to be profitable. So in the context of the church, we are to use our spiritual gifts to contribute, and it's for the good of the church. Let's answer question number 3. What is the purpose of spiritual gifts? The purpose of spiritual gifts is for us to serve and build up members of the church towards Jesus Christ. I'll say that one more time. The purpose of our spiritual gifts is for us to serve and build up members of the church towards Jesus Christ. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 12, you don't have to turn there, but here is another list of spiritual gifts, or some people say that these are lists of offices, but it says this, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, for what purpose? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Again, this same message, this same purpose is also emphasized in other scripture as well. Spiritual gifts are meant for us to use to build up the church towards Jesus Christ. When we build up each other in the church towards Jesus Christ, we not only want people to know Jesus Christ so that they can find salvation through faith in him, but we also want people to grow in Jesus Christ, to disciple this person, to point them towards Jesus Christ. So not only to know Jesus Christ, but to grow in Jesus Christ. And these can be accomplished through the use of our spiritual gifts. This means that our spiritual gifts are not meant to be used for our own personal benefit. Now, some people will say, oh, I'm good at this at this gift. I'm good at leading other people just to make myself feel good because I am a good leader. Or I like to play music, play my instrument because it makes me feel good. It helps me worship God. And although those are good, and although you can use those gifts to serve yourself for that purpose, but the main purpose and the primary purpose is for you to see how you can be able to build up other people. Through your music and leading other people into worship of God, you're helping them grow closer to God. Through your teaching and imparting of your wisdom and knowledge from God's scripture, that you can be able to help other people know God as well. The emphasis is for us to build up the body of Christ. So let's see, how can we practically, like here in our church, in our context, here at CCCGA, use our spiritual gifts? So hopefully this is working. Nope. Keith, can you move up to the next slide? If that's running up. Okay, well, while that is getting up, so remember last week at during Sunday school, we had everyone put together or take the spiritual gifts survey. So I had Uncle Jimmy and Auntie Tracy take time to take all of your results for those of you who had submitted it to us, put it into a spreadsheet, and we created a couple of graphs. I'm just going to show you one graph. This graph is the total scores for every single person here in the English congregation, or at least for those who have submitted it. So there were 50 people who had submitted it. So it's not only for junior high schoolers, it's also high school and college students and some of the graduates. So there are a couple of observations that we can see here. First, our top three most prominent gifts is service and helps, faith, and mercy, which is actually pretty telling, and I think it makes sense in our context here. So, and these top three is actually consistent. If you actually look at the graphs specifically for high schoolers, specifically for junior high and for college, it is consistent in all of the graphs, which makes me think whether this is a trend for all American-born Chinese or Asian Americans in general. But service and helps is the greatest gift. So meaning that you guys work the best in helping other people in like particular areas of ministry when you are given a direction, when you're told specifically what to do and you can be able to help. So this is really helpful for us because then we know that we have to be very specific into providing you all with particular opportunities for how you can serve. The second one is faith. Faith is actually pretty important too. It is the ability to really trust God in the face of all types of trials, in the face of all types of things that may happen. And it's more a reliance on God rather than on human abilities. So that is also important. Now, however, you notice that evangelism is actually one of our lowest gifts here. This is actually a little bit sad. And it's actually consistently low in everyone's, each group's graph too. I think that's a spiritual gift that we can work on. The gift of really going out there and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ so the people can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus and be saved. And also I noticed that the pastoral gifts, such as like prophecy, in other words, preaching, and shepherding are also very low. So this is pretty interesting. But let me talk about like what does it mean for us? How can we take this information and see like what does it mean for our church here? Now, some of you may, in your individual graphs, may have scored very high in the spiritual gift of teaching. So, generally, if you have a score of 20 or above, you could be able to use that gift. So, if you have the spiritual gift of teaching, you may have, like Uncle Huiping may have come to talk to you about the possibility of leading and teaching the junior high Sunday school classes. Or another option is to teach children's ministry. Now, I think we really have a need for college age or young professional students to teach junior high because of another ministry that we are potentially starting. So Brian and Jeannie, for those of you who know them, have talked to me about potentially starting a new fellowship during are the Sunday school time, specifically for men and women with young families, with young children. And if we have college students who are willing to teach junior high students, then our current adult teachers can be relieved of that duty, as much as they love to teach you guys, to participate in this new fellowship. And if they have particular gifts that God can use, like if they have the gift of shepherding, then they can be able to really use that gift to shepherd and comfort and help those couples with young families in their spiritual walk. Because I know having children is a very, it's a very hard thing in your life. So by having people teaching junior high class, it can really help the church as a whole. At the end of the service, Brian will come up and give you a little bit more of details about what will be happening with this new fellowship. Also, as some of you know, the weekend of November 3rd to 5th, we will be having an evangelical meeting. However, this year, for our English ministry, we're going to be just having one meeting on Saturday. So that would be November the 4th. I'll give you more details during the announcements, but our guest speaker will be Dr. Sean Pearson. He will be here to help proclaim the good news, to present the gospel to people. So this is an opportunity for all of us to go out, invite your friends, invite your families, whether from school or people who you work with, to come to these meetings so that they can hear the gospel. And so they can see their need for Jesus Christ. Now, going back to our graph, it shows that our spiritual gift for evangelism is like very low, right? So how would this work well in an evangelical meeting? But all is not lost. We can take the spiritual gifts that we are most prominent in, like service and helps, to be able to help set up chairs, to help do the planning, do all the things that are necessary to make evangelism happen. Same thing with having mercy. Like when we have visitors that are coming to our church, for those of you who have the spiritual gift of mercy, you can extend God's love to them. You can introduce yourself to them. No, we need people to do that as well. And it helps make evangelism happen. Same thing with the spiritual gift of faith. We need to believe, we need to trust that God will work in events like this for people to come to know him as their personal savior. So these are just particular examples, just to give an idea, give a picture how your spiritual gifts can be used to build up the church, can be used to lead other people to come to know Jesus Christ. Each and every one of you play an important role, and God wants to use you as well. So this is something that is very exciting for all of us. So again, if you haven't taken the spiritual gift survey yet, I think if you come to talk with me afterwards, I can make sure I can get you a copy to do that. Or maybe you did it last week, but you actually didn't submit it to us. If you still have your sheet, why don't you give it to us, and then we can be able to update our graphs to get a better picture. But most importantly, I want all of us to continue to pray about what are the spiritual gifts that God has given us. So let's review everything that we've learned from this passage here in 1 Corinthians 12. So we had to ask three questions. The first question is, what are spiritual gifts? And we said that spiritual gifts are abilities of service given by grace. Question number two, who do we receive our spiritual gifts from? And we receive them from the Holy Spirit. And finally, number three, what is the purpose of spiritual gifts? The purpose, as we had already reiterated, is to serve and build up members of the church towards Christ. Now imagine, if everyone here in the church knows what their spiritual gifts are and are actually using them effectively, imagine how much our church can be able to grow. Imagine how much that people can continue to know Jesus Christ and also grow in him. I also want to conclude by sharing the story of a particular individual who had recently shared with me that many years ago, they took the spiritual gift survey, and they saw that mercy was one of their top gifts. But then now, after many years taking the spiritual gift survey again, they find that teaching is now one of their top ones. So this is evidence that this shows that God can actually be able to give you different gifts, and God can be able to continue to mold and shape you. And this is due to either the needs here in the church, or it could be just for the simple fact that God is wanting to mold and shape you and help you grow closer to Him. So this is, I mean, at the beginning we asked about how are these spiritual gifts related to our relationship with God? Well, keep in mind that God can be able to give and help you develop certain spiritual gifts to help you grow closer to Him as well. We not only help other people grow closer to God by serving and using our spiritual gifts, but we ourselves also grow closer to Him as we use our spiritual gifts. This is part of the beauty of the whole picture of the church and part of the beauty of what God intends for all of us. So this is today was just an introduction to spiritual gifts. Now that we understand what spiritual gifts are, for the next week, as we continue on this sermon series on spiritual gifts, we will be looking at Romans chapter 12. And this gives us another list of spiritual gifts. But we, from this passage, we'll see how we can particularly use our spiritual gifts. Like, what is the proper way to use our spiritual gifts in a way that is effective? So that will be for next week's message. So I hope all of you will be able to join us next week for that. So in the meantime, let us close in prayer and respond to God in worship. Would you bow your heads with me? Dear Heavenly Father, You are a great and holy God. All praise, all glory belongs to You, and we seek to glorify and honor You with our lives. And Father, we thank You for teaching us about these spiritual gifts and in this aspect of honoring You, be able to use these for building up of the church. Lord, I pray that You would humble us and break down our pride. Sometimes we may feel that we are very skilled, very talented in certain areas, but help us remember that this skill, this talent, this gift actually came from You, and You gave it to us out of Your grace. So we pray that You would forgive us and help us to humble ourselves. Lord, we also pray that You would forgive us for recognizing our spiritual gifts and seeing the needs of the church, but just sitting there and not really doing anything to serve. Lord, I pray that You also motivate us to really implement the gifts that that You've given us to serve the church. Father, You are a great and holy God. And I pray that even as we continue to sing here in this worship service, may the words that we sing and that we say be true in our hearts. May we continue to not be afraid of lifting up our hands and surrendering everything to God, because You are the Lord who has given us everything. And we owe everything to You. We lift up all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.